Good morning, church. It's kind of cool to be back with, so I can see y'all. I love at the movies, but I can't see anybody. So somebody told me that, asked me the other day, did you see me? I was at church, and I had to honestly say, no, I didn't see you, because with the lights out, it's dark. Welcome, though, for you in the room, and welcome back, everybody online. We're back live now. We couldn't do at the movies online because of some of the copyright laws, and I don't know about you, but I like not being in jail for copyright laws. So we did it the right way, and people online, you guys got to watch a message online, and we had a good time. Thank you guys, though. Thank you for inviting and bringing people and just being willing to participate. I think I didn't get the official numbers, but those two movies we did were our highest attended in several weeks, but as our At the Movie series go, we had a big crowd, and it was awesome to see all of you guys and your families. And actually, we're going to talk about that some more. We're going to I'm doing a one-off today, a one-message thing, change your world. And this is try to think how to say it. I want to be explicit, but I don't want to overdo it. This is a kick in the tail message. I get you going. I want to push you a little bit today, and I'm probably going to give you, if you're visiting with us today, I won't normally throw this much scripture at you, because it can be overwhelming, but I want you to get something today. This morning is a prep for our service next Sunday. Next Sunday on the 20th, as Melanie announced, you saw the video, we're going to celebrate Christmas. We're going to celebrate the birth of our Savior, and we'll do all that because we should. But I also want to encourage you to invite people again. Again, like Melanie said, there's usually several Sundays, Mother's Day, Easter, and Christmas. And somebody said, well, do you use guilt to get people to church? Absolutely. I make no shame of it at all. Yes, because I believe that much. If people are here, they encounter a loving God, a gracious God, a merciful God, and He will bring them hope, and they need to be here. But I want to encourage you, though. I want you to come and bring people, invite people. The Christmas Eve service has kind of grown into a family tradition. I was talking to a family the other day, and they said, now, y'all are having it, right? You're doing the candlelight service. Very simple service, very just time together. It's a time just for us to kind of get close and intimate. We do a couple carols and sing together, but it's just a nice time for family, I think, just to kind of quiet our minds and remember what we're doing before the chaos ensues on the next day. But I kept coming back this week to this word opportunity. The Bible, believe it or not, talks a lot about this word. And I want to encourage you, I believe what the pre-roll, the intro video said, that we can change our world. And the Bible's very clear, He gives us opportunity. And opportunity is simply this, I gave you the definition up here, an appropriate or favorable time or occasion. A situation or condition that conditions are favorable for attainment of a goal. Now this is where I'm going to ask you, don't be bashful about this, but I want you to honestly answer this question. How many of you have family members that aren't saved that you want desperately to know the same God you do? Anybody else besides me? How many of you have coworkers that they look, you can see it on their face, they're hopeless, they're lost, they need to know and feel the love of a loving God. Anybody? Okay. See, what you're looking at is opportunity. And I truly believe that Scriven County, Sylvania, even now, I was talking to Melanie the other day, and she was showing me some numbers of where people are watching from all over the country, where people are driving from, some over an hour away, to come hang out with us. Is it because we're that good? No, it's not. Is it because we're any better than any other church? No, it's not. The only reason is because we serve a good God, a loving God. That this is a hospital for the sick, and the only difference between us and somebody outside is we just got here a little ahead of them. We were just as sick and just as needy for a touch from a loving God. We have these special services that we'll do next week, and we have extra rehearsals this week, and teams put a lot of work and extra work into it. It can get a little intense, even just trying to plan it and figure it all out. But we do it to honor and celebrate our Lord and Savior. But again, because opportunity is coming. The Bible talks a lot about it. Even the devil talks about opportunity. Remember when Jesus is tempted, the Bible says of the devil, he took him to these places. And then when he would leave, it says he would wait until what? An opportune time. There is a lot that probably happens of our own fault and our own mess that we create, but the devil very much looks for a time when you're weak, when things are soft in your life, or you're pulling away from God, or you open a door. The Bible says don't open the door and give the devil a foothold. Why? He's going to come in because it's an opportunity. But God tells us over and over, I'm going to give you opportunities. Watch out for them. It might be visually. You might see an opportunity. I don't know about you, but you ever been in a grocery store sitting behind somebody, maybe a single mom with kids hanging all over, and she's trying to figure out how to pay for this buggy of groceries, and you just feel something in your heart? You're like, God, I want to help. I want to do something. I say that's opportunity. It doesn't have to be the heavens part and God separates the clouds and screams down at you, hey, do this. But it might just be, I need to help her. She seems like she's had a rough day. She seems like maybe she's having a rough Christmas. God says, I'm going to give you these opportunities, so pay attention. The Bible says, Paul writes in Ephesians 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. In verse 16, make the most of what? All right, let's try this again. I need some of my black folks to help me out. Y'all talk to me. Bring the white people with you. Come on, ready? Here we go. Making the most of every opportunity. See, you can talk back to me in church. It's okay. Opportunity. The Bible says he's going to give us opportunity. It says in Colossians, be wise in how you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. You're catching on. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Romans chapter 13. But make sure you don't get so absorbed. This is out of the Message paraphrase version. I love the way he wrote this. So absorbed in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations. Anybody identify with that? All you can think about is what you got to do tomorrow. Matter of fact, how many of you right now, while I'm talking, are thinking about what you got to do tomorrow? See? The strange thing is me too. If y'all could see in my little head here, I'm talking and teaching, but my head's going, tomorrow, I got to do this tomorrow. I got to do this tomorrow. I wonder if the deer will be moving in the morning. I'm going to go hunt in the morning, you know, right? I know some of y'all are thinking about that. When's the moon coming up? Because the moon and the temperature, and we get so absorbed. The Bible says don't lose track of time and doze off, oblivious to God. And I love this next verse. God is putting together the finishing touches on this work of salvation that he started before we were here. The Bible says the conclusion of our salvation is we stand and look Jesus face to face. It says he's putting the finishing touches on salvation when we first believe, and we can't afford to waste a what? A minute. Don't waste a minute. Don't squander the daylight hours. I was sitting in the deer stand, which is funny enough, you can do a lot of good things. Wives, if you want your husbands to go ponder, let them go hunt some more, right? They can think about the meaning of life. Guys, you're supposed to help me out there. Thank you. That was very sad, and I feel left out hanging to dry. Now I'm going to get it on the way home because y'all didn't support me. But I was sitting in the deer stand, and especially when you hunt in the afternoon, you're thinking, what? What time is sunset? And then we all count out 30 minutes after sunset, because if you don't hunt legally after whatever legal sunset is, that's when you're supposed to stop shooting, boys. And we count down the time, or we're maybe hunting in the afternoon and you're running to try to get out there because you want to maximize the time. I can't tell you when God's coming back. I feel like it's soon. Anybody that can tell you when it is lying to you because they don't know. The Bible's very clear. But we're running out of time. We're going to have an opportunity coming up in Christmas to make a difference in somebody's lives. To maybe, it may be as simple as handing them a 10, a 50, maybe $100. I'm just saying, I just wanted you to know God loves you. We have cards. You can get them out front. Ask Miss Helena and the greeter team out there. They'll find them for you. These little cards that say, we just want you to know God loves you. Something a little extra just because God loves you. And hand them that. If you're not good with that kind of messaging, just we did it for you. Because, see, we struggle with a lot of things. And I'm going to help us kind of overcome that this morning. I want to overcome this feeling that we can't do it. And what we fight is this word right here, is this word inadequacy. You have a chance to invite someone who needs hope, who's looking for a glimmer of hope. Yet I hear this all the time. I can't invite people. I don't know what to say. Let me ask you an honest question. And if you're online, send us a message. I want to know your responses. Do you struggle with inviting people to your home? Do you struggle with friends of yours? I've been friends forever. Do you get all bashful? Well, I'd like to. I don't know. Let me think. I want to invite. No way. I don't want to say invite because that implies something else. I would like to welcome you. No, I don't want to say welcome. Nobody does that when you're trying to invite people to your house. We live in the South. Even if you don't want them to come over. Y'all come over sometime, right? If you're not from here and somebody says that to you, it's 50-50 whether they really want you to come over or not. When we moved here 20 years ago, 21 years ago, right after Melanie and I got married, we were leaving somewhere and somebody said, y'all come see us sometime. So a few days later, I thought, I would like to go see them. So I told Melanie, come on, let's go. We didn't have kids at the time. Come on, we're going over to see so-and-so. Oh, no. Why? Well, they didn't invite us. Well, yeah, they did. Didn't you hear when they said, come on, come on? That's not invite. It's just y'all Southerners say weird things, and that's one thing you say, and they don't really mean it. I said, no, I know them. They mean it. And to this day, 20 years from now, if you want us to come over, you better invite us because my wife will not come unless she's formally invited. And y'all come sometime does not count. We've indoctrinated her to most of the ways of the South, but she still just that she can't get by it. See, we feel like there's this inadequacy. I can't invite people. I can't pray for them. That's your job, preacher. No, it's not. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that the guy in charge of the church, the preacher, the pastor, whoever, is the one that talks to God. It tells you, hey, have this continual conversation with me day and night. Just hang out with me. Pray without ceasing is what it literally says. I can't share my story. I want to challenge you right now. You've heard me say this before if you've been here for a while. You need to be able to share your story in 30 seconds. I'm not asking for a 5-point sermon. I'm not asking for the last 50 years of your life and your family's, you know, genealogical history and where you moved from. And I get asked all the time, oh, are you of those Williams? No. Are you of those Williams? No. My Williams are from Macon, Bibb County, Jones County. Oh, okay. So you're not of those. People don't want all that. You just need to be able to say, hey, listen, I know my life looks like it's crazy, but you should have seen me last year. And somewhere in between, I met God, and life has just turned around. I was hurt. I was hooked on drugs. I just went through a divorce. I had somebody leave me. I had somebody miss. And I don't know how God did it, but he brought me healing. He brought me hope. That's all you have to say. You can do it. Well, people, preacher, somebody told me this last night. Well, preacher, you just don't know. No, I do know. Why? Because I'm human just like you. I told somebody last night, I said, stop calling me preacher. I have this thing about being called preacher. My mama calls me Clint. That's what she named me, and when I answer the phone, she calls me, she says, hi, Clint. She doesn't say, hey, preacher. I get the honor part of it, but if you're not careful, it separates people who, quote, aren't in ministry to feel like, well, they're not adequate. I can't do that. No, you can. And look what the Bible says. This is Peter writing. He says, but you're not like them. You're not like the people without hope. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And I love this line. God's very own possession. His own possession. Look what it says in verse 9. As a result of this, show others the goodness of God, because he's taken you from a dark place. And this will be my version. He's taken you from a dark place. And it may have been you only feel like you're in a place that's slightly more lit, but it's not where you were. That alone makes you more than adequate to share with people, to invite people. You don't have to have a five-point sermon. You just have to know you're more than adequate. Some people say, well, I'm unequipped. Pastor, you got a master's degree. You study. Let me tell you, and I say this in all honesty, my master's degree got me nothing more than a beautiful wife. I still today, why did I chunk out so much money? Well, I know why. I tell Melanie, I said, you're a $30,000 wife. You realize that? Somebody said, you can't put a price on that. Oh, yeah, I can. See, it doesn't make me more trained. Matter of fact, in a lot of seminary, I end up throwing it out because even in seminary, they get so worldly and religious, they don't even know which ends up. And it's aggravating to hear that people say, well, I'm not equipped. I can't find things in the Bible. You want me to give you a secret to the Bible? Y'all ready? This will change. Your Bible will be forever different for you. Are you ready? Are you ready online? Because get ready to type it out. Here's your word. Google. I'm serious. Now, you have to be careful. Sometimes you end up in some crazy stuff. But if you want to know what verse in the Bible says I'm healed, type it in Google. It will take you to the verses that talk about healing. Stop making this such a religious experience. This is a relational experience, not a religious one. You're equipped. I don't have a degree. You don't need one. Look what the Bible says. This is Isaiah, thousands of years ago in Isaiah 45. I am the Lord your God. There is no other. I have equipped you for what? For battle. He's not sending us out with nothing. He says, I've equipped you, even though you don't know me. See, I feel like this. I feel like God's gifted us and he's put things in us. And it's almost like he's waiting for the activation. When Jesus comes into our life and hits it activates these things in us. What you thought was a quirky personality is actually something God gave you so you can reach a specific group of people. You're more than equipped. So all the world from east to west will know there's no other God. I'm the Lord and there is no other. The New Testament says, how will people know? Look what Paul writes in 2 Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that you may be equipped for every good work. I don't want to hear anymore. I told you this is the kick in the pants message today. Stop telling us you're not able because you're not equipped. Now, can you gain tools? Yes, that's why we have the growth track. But the Bible says that you're more than equipped to walk out of these doors, go into your office, your place of work, your home, and be able to just share love with people. You don't speak King James English, so don't try to. Rednecks sound stupid when they try to use these, thous, and those, and whithersoevers. We are not King James English. Southerners draw words out five times longer than they're supposed to be, and I'm okay with that. And so is everybody that lives here. Stop trying to be something you're not. You are equipped and more than adequate. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, now may the God of peace who brought us up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratify this eternal covenant with his blood. Jesus came, he's born. Next week we'll celebrate that. Easter, he rises, his blood is shed for us. And look what it says in verse 21. That he may equip you with all you need for doing what he's asked you to do. This morning, I want to give you a couple things that we can do, that you can do today, that we can take advantage of now. Why now? Because our service is next week, Christmas is next week, and we are not going to miss opportunities. My prayer is this. People, you have been asking them to come to church for years. Next Sunday is their day. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to pray and agree with you, but I can't contact them. I can't invite them. I can't reach out to them because I don't know them. I'm not connected with them. You are. God's put them in your life. He said he would open doors of opportunity. He said he would give us an opportunity to cross to our lives to intersect with other people's lives that need him to use us. Why do we act like it doesn't happen? Why do we ignore it? I want you to be able to not only celebrate the birth of Jesus, but celebrate, hey, they're getting, that's okay. Sorry, the fire guys are getting a call. I want you to be able to celebrate an eternal change. See, this is bigger. Jesus shows up, and the Bible says for us that there is an eternal thing going on, an eternal purpose in your friends' lives, your family's lives, and that is what needs to be you be aware of. Celebrate next week an eternity change in your family, your friends, and your coworkers. So think about these three things, and I did them all in the start with the letter M so that you can remember them. The first one is your manner. Nobody, especially in the South, has not experienced a mama or a grandmama, even if they weren't your mama or grandmother. Before you go into a house, before you go into a grocery store, they tell you, son, you better mind your... My grandmother, my mom's mom, Miss Edna Francis, they called Edna Fireball for a reason. Because once she got fired up, she may have been 5 foot nothing and didn't weigh a nothing, but she was a fireball. And she would tell you, mind your manners. That is not how you act. That is not how you behave. You see, you need to know this. Your actions affect others. This is not a I told you so. This is a I'm just giving you a warning. Because I don't think we pay attention to my actions, my manners affect other people. And the truth of the matter is, this is true. You're either drawing people in or you're pushing them out. One of the two. You're either drawing people to God or you're pushing them away from God. Because the Bible says if you're in the middle, it just makes God nauseous. You see, our actions, and I know a lot of people that just don't realize how their actions have affected their families, their kids. Because we feel like, well, it's just me, it's my decision. No, it's not. Your actions affect other people outside of your family and this community. Talk to people who've experienced a loss. Through maybe, I have a friend whose family was killed by a drunk driver. That decision affected that family. I've had other positive things happen. This family, they got a large inheritance and they were able to go to this other family and help them save their house from losing it in bankruptcy. Our actions affect other people. Remember what we read in Colossians. I'll give it to you again. This is in Colossians 4. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Why be wise? Because it affects other people. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, live your life so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, of people that don't have the same perspective of life. It makes a difference. I hear more people say, and tell me if this doesn't identify with somebody in the room. Anybody ever had a friend, you invite them and say, well, I'm not coming to church. Well, why? Because I know all those people and I see the way they act out there. I'm the only one? Oh, come on. I hear that a lot. Why do I need to go to church? I can be a jerk without Jesus. They go to church and they're still a jerk. They still steal, they still lie, and they still cheat, they still do. I don't see any difference. What is that? See, they see your manners. As a church, they see our manners. That's why when we do our step one class, which is kind of our membership class, I tell people, once you kind of anchor yourself down, we call it giving you a jersey, you're on the team. You need to, or even better, the little stickers, the BC stickers. Anybody got BC sticker on the back of your car? People pay attention to those. I've passed somebody in a spot. Maybe I shouldn't have passed them. And the phone rang. Hey, preacher, why are you in such a hurry? See, my manners affect people. We assume that they don't, but people are always watching besides our Father. So mind your manners. The next thing is you need to pay attention to the moment. Again, the Bible is very clear. God will put people across your path. Your lives will intersect. And it may be people that you intersect with daily. I see you every morning. I heard a friend tell me about a security guard at the gate, the company he works in. And every morning for 20 years, hey, 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 for 20 years. And one morning he said, hey, and the guy said, hey, I'm, and the security guard stopped him in his truck and said, hey, let me ask you a question. He knew he attended a particular church, and he stopped and he said, what does your church think about this? People lining up behind him. If that guy, my friend, did not have an answer he could give him in just a few seconds, he would have missed his opportunity. The Bible says maybe sometimes you come across a life that you've never met them before. It's a divine opportunity. Pay attention. There's moments you'll have with your kids. I still to this day remember, I was looking back over some old notes and another teaching idea, and I remember Melanie telling me one day when Emma was little and just really starting to talk, and she heard Emma talking in the back seat, really not knowing what she was doing, and turned down the radio and went to listen. And Melanie, every day, she would drive to church, she would pray out loud for the church, for you guys, on her way to Sunday morning, every Sunday. And she turned it down, and that one morning, Emma was praying for you. Why? Because her manners instructed her, hey, this is something good to do. But I also believe it was a moment, because it was enough impact on her for her to tell me about it. And I still remember that today. The Bible says of us in Psalm 139, you saw me, but it's King David talking. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. See, the Bible tells us there's a story of your life written before you ever showed up on the earth. Our problem is we take the pen from God, start writing stories, and then get to the end and realize, this is not how I wanted it to turn out. The problem and the solution is not having the pen, it's giving it back to God. Because it says every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 9. It says, we make plans, but God figures out where we're going. A lot of us make plans. Here's how this is going to work. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have 2.3 kids, and then I'm going to have a house and this, and I'm this much money. I'm going to work this long, and I'm going to retire here. And God says, that's a good idea, but you're not going to do that. You're going to go somewhere completely different because I've got it planned out for you. God's going to send you across people that you have moments to radically change their eternities. And my prayer is that when you leave today from day until you come back with them, with you next Sunday, that they'll walk in the door next Sunday and realize, I don't give the messages out ahead of time a lot, but I am what you saw. They'll realize what the video said. Hope has a name. It's not just a wish. It's not just an invisible thing. Hope has a name. He's a person and he's real. And that's what we're celebrating. And we need to have people here next week so they can hear that. So if God says these moments will happen, I'm asking you, when you leave here, expect them. Expect him. God, I may have these plans, but if you determine my steps, then I'm going to walk right into an opportunity to change somebody's lives. And the last one is this. Your manners, your moment, and do you actually have a message? I'm asking you the question to stop and think about. So if your manners aren't running them off and you're drawing them in, if your moment you intersect and you have it, what are you going to say? Do you have a message? That's why I said you need to be able to share your story in 30 seconds or less. It doesn't need to be a sob story. Sob story or a good story, whatever your testimony may be, it doesn't need to be I was, but look at me now. I know I don't look like I got it together, but you should have seen me a year ago. You should have seen me 2 years ago. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for what? That you have hope. And I want to ask you that question, and I'm going to ask you that, if you want to raise your hand, great. If you don't, I'm not going to call anybody out. But how many of you right now can answer that question? Can I tell you why I have hope? Can I explain to you where I was? Can I explain to you the hurt I felt when this happened, and then I met the guy who God sent to save us? There's hope. You see, here's the thing. Guys, y'all can go ahead and flip the lights over. You don't have to know the answer. By that, I mean you don't have to go, 1 John 1:9 says, well, John 3:16 says, well, Isaiah 45 says, well, this says. That's what I would consider the answer because it's truth from the Word. You don't have to know the answer, but you do have to know His name. You have to know Him. And no more than I have to know all of your details to say I know you. There are a lot of you I know, but I don't know a whole lot about you, but I still know you. See, I think Jesus is the same way. I don't fully understand it. All I know is I went to church. I felt horrible. I felt dirty. I felt distant. And suddenly, I prayed this prayer and received this Jesus into my heart. And I know His name. I don't know where He comes from. I can't explain why bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people. I can't explain why some people die and some people don't. I just know where I was, and I know where I am now. I don't have the answer. One of the worst mistakes you can make as a Christian, one of the worst mistakes I believe pastors make, is trying to give people an answer that there's just not an answer. We're not going to know until we ask Jesus in heaven. And I've recently had to tell some people that. Bro, I don't know. But it doesn't change what's true. It doesn't change His name. The Bible says that hope has a name. Look what this verse says, and we're going to close. 2 Corinthians. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ is not what they used to be. Not, they may still smell a little bit. They may smell like the poop they were standing in, but they're not in it anymore. I'll get them cleaned up, but they're not in it. And it says in verse 18, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Christ Himself, and God has given us this task of doing what? Us a task of bringing people back to Him. In verse 19, and He gave us all this wonderful message. He gave it to us. He's sharing it, but He asked us to do something about it. Why? Because He's going to give us opportunities. And I'm asking you now to look for those opportunities. Make the most of your manner, your moments, and your message. What you do and the way you speak and the way you act has eternal consequences. And I know that's a weighty thing. But I wouldn't be doing my job as a pastor if I didn't inform you and talk about the weight of our actions, the weight of the moments that we experience, and the power and the message that God said He gave us. Please don't get religious on me. Please don't feel like you have to explain the covenant and the Trinity, and they're three but one, and the rapture and tribulation and all this. They're real. But I said this during one of them at the movies. If somebody is drowning, they don't care how the life jacket works. They just want you to throw it to them. We are holding life jackets and we're looking at the Savannah or the Ogeechee River, and there's a lot of people floating by going with no hope. And we're holding the answers in our hand. But I just don't feel, it's not an opportunity. I can't invite them. I can't think of the words to say. I hate for somebody to go past us on the rivers knowing that we had the answer and we just, yeah, I'll hold on to it. Don't let that be you this week. Amen. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I never end the service without offering people a chance to meet You, to know You. And God, I ask You now, God, for those here hungry for You, help them pray and receive You. And it doesn't have to be complicated, guys. It's simply this. God, forgive me for my sins. I received Jesus that You sent for me. I know I'm not perfect, but God, I'm going to start walking this out with You. And I thank You for being so good to me. Something as simple as that. I'm not calling you up front today to embarrass you. If that's you, let us know in the cards and the seat or on the message board online. Now You have something to do There are opportunities for you to impact the world. And we're going to see lives changed forever. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't you stand with me if you would? We're going to sing one more carol. I'm going to ask you to sing it for all you're worth. Just as a reminder. We're going to sing O Holy Night. The night that Jesus showed up. The message was here. It's come for us. For me and for you. Before we sing, I'm gonna pray over you. I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna charge you. There's several times in the Bible where Paul and Peter and disciples, both given and receiving from Jesus, charges, go do this. If you're visiting with us today, just let me be your pastor today and receive it as that I charge you in Jesus' name. Don't let opportunities go by. You plant the seed, God will bring it to harvest. You invite them, they will come. I can promise you this, if you never offer the invitation, they're never going to come. And God will go around and use somebody else if he has to. Don't let it be your story. You do it. You write it. You invite. Let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, God, today I ask you to give everybody within the sound of my voice, Father, just a supernatural, inside out drive and awareness of opportunities of friends and family and coworkers and strangers, Father God, that our lives cross, to make sure they know their hope has a name, that hopelessness doesn't have to be permanent, that fear does not have to rule lives, that loneliness is not how God intended us to live. Help us communicate that hope has a name. And God, if we get people here, it's not about the music, it's not about the message, it's not about the lights or anything special other than Jesus, you'll show up next week and lives forever will be eternally changed. And we thank you for that now. God, I charge them, everybody within the sound of my voice, to go do what you've asked us to do. Thank you for and Father, in Jesus' name, for all those who may be tithing and giving today, Father, I thank you that this house is fully financed to do everything you've asked us to do. But God, more so that you'll return it to them, just like your word says. And the more you give us, Father God, the more we'll do. The more finances we have, the more we'll do. The more our households grow, the more we'll give and serve and take advantage of those opportunities. And we thank you for it now, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,